Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR on this Wednesday, February the 19th, 2020. Ed Vitagliano is co-hosting with me today. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Along with Fred Jackson.
Yes, good morning, sir. Fred. Good morning.
Fred also serves as our news director for American Family Radio and also OneNewsNow.com. So check that out, OneNewsNow.com. Again, Fred, tell folks the daily, the 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, you guys send a news brief out for anybody who wants it.
Absolutely. Go to OneNewsNow.com, OneNewsNow.com. Over on the right-hand side, upper right-hand side, you can sign up for our daily news brief. We'll send you a summary of all the big stories of the day, including our editorials, our stories from our reporters, and stories of what's going on in your world. And we'll send it to you free of charge once a day, and it'll give you a great summary of what's happening in your world from a Christian perspective.
The only thing we ask is 10 minutes of your time for a timeshare. we do need a, we're going to show you a timeshare video.
Yes.
And you don't have to accept it.
But if you do sit through it, you get a free toaster.
Right, Ed.
Okay.
So sit through our timeshare video. I'm just kidding. You know, have y'all heard these ads where people I heard this gentleman advertising where you call his company and his company is set up to get you out of your timeshare. have you heard this?
No.
You heard this? Yeah, I heard this the other day. I've never done a timeshare, but I guess a lot of people.
Yeah, I've never.
They were popular maybe in the 70s and 80s and 90s, I guess, a lot. And they have their advantages. I'm not saying there's but how many people have you heard say, I bought a timeshare and I don't know how to get out of it,
right,
or I regret it? Anyway, this fellow was saying, hey, I can get you out of your timeshare. Just call me. Of course, you pay him. You know, the service.
He's going to make a living.
Yeah, he's going to make a living.
He's got his own timeshare.
Getting you out of timeshare. Did I tell you, there was a couple that Allison and I knew that were went to Cancun.
Yeah.
And of course, timeshares are all over the world, right? But they were in Cancun, and they got a free hotel stay 3 days out of the if they would come and listen to
a pitch,
an hour.
Yeah.
Pitch, and so the company came and picked them up at the hotel.
Right.
And then drove them to another hotel where the presentation was, you know.
Yeah.
For all the people who were there. I don't know, 100 or so people who were there to listen. And anyway, when they got through listening to the whole, my friend, he was pretty hard-headed. You know, he was like, his wife was kind of like, I think we maybe. He's like, no, we're going in there. We're going in there. We're going to listen to the presentation. And then we are leaving.
And we're sticking together.
We're sticking together. Yeah, now, don't go weak on me. don't say yes, you'll listen to more.
Right.
We don't want to go off in some cubicle with Jose. Okay? We're leaving.
That's right.
Okay? We've done our commitment. We're leaving. We got the free trip out of it.
Now,
are we together on this? Fist pump.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, went in there, and they listened to it. And his wife held out. She was good. She stuck together. But anyway, they finally said, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. And then they said, well, we need to go back to our hotel. And they said, well, sorry, find your own. You have to get your own.
They wouldn't take them back?
No, they wouldn't take them back. They wouldn't take them back. They had to get their own taxi or their own way back to the. They came and picked them up.
Yeah.
But when they didn't do the timeshare, they wouldn't take them back.
That's pretty petty.
I guess they figured they wasted money on them, probably.
I know, but you want.
You're right. It was unprofessional.
You want good word of mouth.
But I don't. I'm glad they weren't 100 miles from their hotel.
Yeah, I know it.
But anyway,
get mugged or something on the
way
back.
He said they wouldn't take us back once we wouldn't buy. They said no, you can find your own.
You were going to say that the husband was the one who caved.
Oh, that sounds like a King of Queens episode.
King of Queens
episode. those who know what we're talking about. All right, Fred, what's happening in the news world?
Rod Blagojevich.
Easy for you to say.
Guy's got a head of hair. I got to give him that.
Yes, but it's turned gray in the last 8 years. He's been behind
prison
bars.
Will do that, apparently.
But yesterday, President Donald Trump, Republican, commuted the sentence of this former Illinois governor,
mm-hmm.
who had been behind bars for the last 8 years after being convicted of, well, among other things, trying to sell the seat left vacant when Barack Obama became president. There was a Senate seat open because Obama was a senator.
Right.
So he was convicted of trying to sell that seat. And
what's wrong with that?
Politicians do it every day.
That's a normal day in Chicago, isn't it? Politics,
yes,
huh?
Yes.
Blagojevich.
Yeah. I know you struggle with that.
That's why Mr. B.
You grew up like I did around, Mexicans and Jews and Polish people,
right.
And no Russians. I'd struggle with Russian, but
yeah.
Blagojevich, yeah.
Yeah.
Good Polish name.
But it was shocking. I mean, the president went through a bunch of pardons and commuting over the last couple of days, but yesterday, I think it threw a lot of people that he was going to commute the sentence of Blagojevich. Blagojevich, a kind of ever Democrat, extreme Democrat. You have Donald Trump, conservative Republican. So everybody's asking, why would he do this? So let's listen to a little bit of what President Trump had to say before he got on Air Force One yesterday to go to California. He talked to reporters about commuting the sentence for Rod Blagojevich. Here's Trump. It's cut number one. Nine.
I can't wait to get there. It's been almost 8 years.
I'm sorry.
Yes, we have commuted the sentence of Rod Blagojevich. He served 8 years in jail. It's a long time, and I watched his wife on television. I don't know him very well. I met him a couple of times. He was on for a short while of The Apprentice years ago. Seemed like a very nice person. Don't know him, but he served 8 years in jail. There's a long time to go. Many people disagree with the sentence. He's a Democrat. He's not a Republican. It was a prosecution by the same people, Comey, Fitzpatrick, the same group.
So there's the hint.
He's sticking it to Comey.
Exactly. Well, huh? Mueller was head of the FBI when Blagojevich was being investigated, all right? And Comey was his second in command at the FBI. And then Fitzgerald, former U.S. attorney who prosecuted Blagojevich and now represents former FBI Director James Comey. So there, I think, is the hint. President Trump saying, we both had the same enemies in the justice system, and so I feel sorry for Blagojevich. I'm going to let him go early.
Yeah, and by the way, I want to correct myself. I was blathering on about Polish people. I just looked it up, and Blagojevich is Serbian. So I got that one wrong. But you know what? Rod Blagojevich was guilty as sin. I mean, I think they had him on videotape. But the sentence is commuted. His sentence was commuted, which means just basically shortening.
He wasn't pardoned.
No.
There's a difference.
Yes.
Pardoned means the president has decided, using his constitutional power, to exonerate you of a crime you've been found guilty of.
Right.
All right. With a commutation, is that how you pronounce it?
Mm-hmm.
That's basically, as you say, that's the president saying shortening the sentence because he feels like it was too excessive.
Yes.
So that's what he's done with the former governor of Illinois right there.
And he is clearly taking a dig at Comey and et al.
Right.
Because why else would you mention it? Why else would you mention that he was put in, Blagojevich was put in prison by these guys?
Blagojevich was at the, this is an interesting story. Blagojevich did not know what the president had done. Some of his fellow inmates yesterday, he was being held at a prison in Colorado. Some of his inmates came up who had been watching TV and said, your sentence has been commuted. And he said, what?
Yeah.
So
that was kind of surreal there.
Yeah.
It's surreal is right.
Yeah.
So Blagojevich, he's released like right away.
Yeah.
And he flew home. He got back to Chicago just after midnight last night. Here's Blagojevich at the airport talking to reporters.
I can't wait to get there. It's been almost 8 years. But it's been a long journey. But I think the appropriate thing to say is that I speak for Patty, for my daughters Amy and Annie, and for me when I express our most profound and everlasting gratitude to President Trump for doing what he did. He didn't have to do this. He's a Republican president. I was a Democratic governor. And my fellow Democrats don't treat him very good. So all I can say is I think this is the ending of the first act of a two-act play. And tomorrow begins the second act. And I think there's a lot that needs to be done in the second act so that wrongs that have been done can be righted. And if you're asking me what my party affiliation is, I'm a Trumpocrat.
Trumpocrat. You know, that was very... That was very well said of him. Of course, you know, he was sentenced to how many years?
14 years.
And he served how many?
8.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the president also did this with other, he commuted or he pardoned some other high-profile people.
Yes.
As well. Mm-hmm. Are they the only high-profile people or were there others that he... Do you know?
There's, I don't.
There are some names that I did not recognize.
Okay.
Blagojevich, I'll be honest, Blagojevich was the only name I recognized.
Yelkin,
but they were pretty, apparently pretty high profile cases.
Milken, I remember him from he was the junk bond guy that got in trouble.
Yes, and there's also the football team owner.
The San Francisco 49ers owner. How do you pronounce that? Anyway.
Yeah, but I did remember him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Jerry Rice, the NFL player, and a couple of others were at the White House yesterday.
Yes, when that announced.
To thank President Trump for doing that. You know, that's one of those things that is at the
DeBartolo. DeBartolo. 49ers. Eddie owner. DeBartolo.
This is one of those things that's at the sole discretion of the president.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will have to. He'll be judged, will the president, for better or for worse, mm-hmm. by the voters in November as they factor in who he has reduced their sentence or he's pardoned. I don't think normally that factors in a big way because most times these things have happened when a president is leaving the White House.
I was going to say the timing is interesting, though. He's doing this before an election. Normally, a president will do it after election or just in days before he's leaving the White House.
What if President Trump is doing this in part to set up the same thing for Roger Stone and Michael Flynn, General Flynn? In other words, you know what I'm saying? He's going to also pardon them. Mm-hmm. Could he pardon them today and be done with this?
Well, Stone hasn't been sentenced.
Yeah, I think you have to.
It's an Abe question.
I think it is an Abe question, but I think you at least want to wait until the process is completed. So, like Roger Stone hasn't
been found guilty, but now he's probably going to get a new. Okay, and he's been sentenced, and there's a chance that Roger Stone may get a new trial based on what we know now.
You want to make sure that the government is done with all of its prosecutions and all those kind of things, so you don't have to do it again.
Good point.
You don't have to pardon them for something else. By the way, in this, Eddie DeBartolo, if I'm pronouncing his name right, the 49er owner, former, he was pardoned. His sentence wasn't commuted. He was pardoned by the president. And I think you mentioned, I don't know if you mentioned the names, but Ronnie Lott, Jerry Rice, Charles Haley, those are from the 49er great teams in the 80s, but also Jim Brown were at the White House. And
four very high-profile African-American athletes.
Yes.
Right there.
And
we were at the White House with the president.
Jerry Rice said, "I take my hat off to Donald Trump for what he did." I'm not really sure what DeBartolo was convicted. I mean, I know he's convicted of something to do with not reporting a bribe to a Louisiana governor. But these players all here seem to think that
they love the guy.
Yeah, they love him, and
they were at the White House to thank the president.
Yeah,
you know what, fellas? Speaking of that, I don't think the Donald Trump is a racist card is working anymore.
Oh no.
I do think it worked a while. Charlottesville, when that was right after that happened. Although again, the president's words were taken out of were misrepresented there. He didn't say they were great Nazis.
Right.
like the left said, oh, he said there's good Nazis.
Yeah.
No, he didn't say that.
In fact, he specifically said these white supremacist people, they're not good
people. Right, but I just don't think you're seeing too many. You're having the Clemson, the LSU team went to, almost all African-American players. They all went to the White House. You're having Kanye West. You're having a lot of black athletes, entertainers, other politicians, people the president has commuted their sentences or pardoned, who were African-American. The lady there who went to jail, I think she's in Memphis for selling marijuana. Anyway, so I just don't think that's working anymore. The Democrats try to say President Trump is a racist. They'll say it probably. When is the next debate?
Tonight.
They say it every day. Because Joe Biden says basically said President Trump wants to put black folks in chains. Isn't that what he said? They want to put y'all back in chains.
Was that Biden that said that?
That was Biden. And I think probably a lot of black voters are on to this by now. Not that they aren't going to vote Democrat.
Right.
Because that's how most African Americans vote, although that's changing now, maybe slowly. But that's changing now. But I don't think that most African-American people, even though they might vote Democrat, view people who vote Republican as KKK members.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And they don't view President Trump as Jerry Rice and those black athletes who went to the White House to thank the president yesterday may not vote for President Trump in November. That's their right. They'll vote for who they think would be the best president.
Right.
But they don't think that President Trump is disqualified because he
hates
black people.
Right.
Okay. That's a tired, overused, overplayed card that doesn't work like it used to. But anyway, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. In fact, there are some projections, Fred, that President Trump may get as much as 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Of the African American vote, and maybe 40% of the Hispanic vote.
Yep.
I know people don't vote as a block, but that's how people talk. Typically African Americans have voted as a block, like 90% for the Democrats.
Right.
That is a voting block.
Yep.
But you cut into that.
That's right. And what's happened is that you've got 3.5 years of the President Trump economy, which has benefited so many black Americans, Hispanics, unemployment rates for black Americans, all-time lows. Same with Hispanic Americans, all-time lows. And, on the mainstream media, you're going to hear the complainers against Donald Trump. I mean, that's just the way it is.
I haven't noticed that. Where have you seen this, Fred?
The negativity. There were some figures that actually came out just a few weeks ago about the coverage of, I think it was the impeachment trial and all of that sort of thing. Just 100% negative against Trump.
There's more. Listen, President Trump was in the public eye for decades, and for all the things that were reported and talked about him, namely his Playboy lifestyle, there was never a hint of anything about him being racist.
Right.
That only happened after he became president. They started introducing this idea. There is more baggage for Bloomberg on that front. After 12 years of stop and frisk mayoring, and I'm not saying I'm necessarily opposed to that stop and frisk. I'm just saying that. And I think you guys listen to Bloomberg. Some of these old quotes that he has. That they're pulling out. Okay, we would have to listen to them one by one, and we can't do that for us to comment on everything that's supposedly, quote, controversial. But let me just say this. Not all of what Mayor Bloomberg has said I find offensive, that some people are saying is offensive.
Right.
I'm not going to vote for him. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But I think some of what – but here's the point. What – because I heard Sean Hannity put, quote some stuff last night. Sean Hannity's having an absolute field day with this.
Yes.
He is just, huh? This is a new world. He's calling him Farmer. What's the name?
Mike Bloomberg?
He's calling him Farmer Bloomberg.
Because of his insulting.
Yeah, that was Sean Hannity's line. Yeah. It's a great line. But anyway, what is being pointed out here is that the people on the left have said these, made judgments about Republicans and namely Donald Trump about things and calling him a bigot and a racist and a fascist and a Nazi and a Hitler based on things far less offensive, if you want to put it that way, than what Bloomberg has said over the years. Mm-hmm. And now you have all these things, all these sayings about from Bloomberg saying take minority kids and shove them up against the wall and frisk them, right, to stop crime in your neighborhoods. Is that an unfair characterization of what he said?
No, that's exactly what he said.
He says things like that. What the point is, the left now is muted for the most part. If Trump had said these things that Bloomberg has said on audio and on video, racially charged and other things, last night he's making fun of trans, a man wearing a dress.
Transgender.
If Trump
women.
Said those things, he would be absolutely crucified. Well, he has been. Would be crucified. But Bloomberg, not so much, because Bloomberg pays people to shut up. In other words, Bloomberg is, guys, like one of the top 10 wealthiest people in the country. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he's got money that he's sending out all over the country to groups, advocacy groups, political campaigns. And so if you're going to tell a group, okay, don't criticize me and call me a racist, I got $10 million for your organization, okay?
Yeah.
Then that person says, okay, $10 million, you can buy my silence. That's what's going on with Bloomberg. Now, I don't have evidence of all this. I'm just telling you that's what is going on. Otherwise, you would find, if people were consistent with their message, you would find Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and all these others, if this were Trump saying, throw these kids up against the wall and frisk them, they would be saying, oh, racist, racist, racist.
Right.
Donald Trump's a racist. With Bloomberg, they say,
Well, he apologized.
Right. See, he apologized. Anyway, I'm just saying, you watch the double standard. Not that there aren't double standards on the right, too, sometimes. I understand that. But you watch this with Bloomberg. This is going to be.
It's going to be very interesting tonight.
The debate.
The debate.
Yes.
About that's tonight.
Whether they
what
go
after.
What
time is that?
I think it's 8 o'clock.
That's must-see TV right there, at least for the first 30 minutes, don't you think? Are you going to – now, you guys, they've been snore-fest. I haven't even tuned into any
yes,
of them.
I am going to watch tonight.
Why are you going to watch tonight?
Well, just because the Bloomberg factor, and I do want to see how they go after Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're going to sabotage him.
Because they've got to. Mm-hmm. They've got to. As I mentioned yesterday, we're talking about the Nevada caucuses are Saturday. A week from that is the South Carolina primary. And then the Tuesday following that is Super Tuesday.
Yep.
You have 10 days to make your case and undercut Bloomberg to keep him from being the option for Bernie Sanders. That's what Mayor Pete and
the
Elizabeth
option.
Warren.
You mean the opponent, the
alternative. The
alternative.
Yeah.
So if you want to be the alternative to Bernie Sanders, you've got to stop Mike Bloomberg, and that starts tonight.
Yep. So can I? Is it safe to say that Abby Tagliano says there will be no Bloomberg Sanders ticket?
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think they're going to, they're going to get together and hold hands
so.
At the convention like the old days?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like not the Reagan Bush fight and
yeah,
they get up there.
No. Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't expect that to be the case. By the way, Eddie DeBartola, according to some of our Facebook listeners, that's how you pronounce his last name.
Okay.
DeBartola.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trust them.
We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Understanding the Times Radio.
I'm not sure there's anything more predicted in the Bible than that there would be an end time apostasy. Verse after verse after verse after verse. So when we see it happen, Why are we surprised?
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, I was looking over our itinerary for our June and September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. We go to the Capitol, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court, the Lincoln Memorial, the Korean and Vietnam Memorials, the Iwo Jima Memorial, Arlington National Cemetery, the White House, the Jefferson Memorial, and the National Archives, and the World War II Memorial, and including Mount Vernon. We go to Mount Vernon as well, so you can't do any more than what we do on our tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. We also go to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but the tours are back-to-back. So if you want to go with us in June, we're almost full, or September, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. All the information is there, spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My name is Dr. Andrew Fabich, and I teach microbiology here at Drew McConnell University. And so instead of trying to teach biology from this perspective that gives you this goo-to-you version of evolution, you get this perspective of this is who God is, this is who God has revealed himself to be, and he's revealed himself in nature, which is terribly exciting to study.
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. It turns out Minnie Mike has a big mouth. Former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg has been generating headlines over past comments he's made disparaging black people, pregnant women, and the intelligence of farmers. But those comments pale in comparison with what he said about the elderly. Bloomberg told a group of Jewish folks that if you are 95 years old and you have cancer, you should be denied medical care. He said the elderly should be turned away and told to have a nice life. I have the video on ToddStarnes.com. Remember when Sarah Palin was castigated by the mainstream media for telling the nation that Obamacare was really about death panels? Yeah, somebody owes Ms. Palin an apology. That comment, by the way, tells me everything I need to know about Mike Bloomberg, and there's no way that guy should ever be allowed anywhere near the White House or a nursing home. Be sure to get my new Toddcast podcast. It's a free download at ToddStarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We're going to get back to the news of the day in just a few moments. Fred Jackson joining me with Ed Vitagliano. But first of all, maybe you have heard there's serious flooding going on in parts of the South. And in our home state here of Mississippi, it's extremely serious, especially in the central part of the state. 8 days of Hope is taking action. And Steve Tiber joins us right now, who's the president of 8 days of Hope. And I serve on their board of directors. It's a fine organization, and they do great work all over the country helping with disaster relief, all in the name of Jesus Christ. Steve, good morning to you.
Hey, brother. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, you in Mississippi or Buffalo? Where are you today?
I'm in New York today, but I'm headed to Alabama here in a couple of days, and Mississippi and Texas. And, you know, there's never a shortage of disasters these days, it seems like.
Oh, I know. So tell us what 8 days of Hope is going to be doing in response to the flooding.
Yeah, thanks, Tim, for having me on. I appreciate that. So as you know, Jackson, Mississippi, Pearl River has seen heights that have only been seen once or twice before. And so this morning, our leaders and equipment, we're headed down the highway as we speak, and we are going to be setting up about 7 miles from Jackson, Mississippi. And there's flooding both to the east and west of where we're going to be headquartered at. And starting Friday, already volunteers, I think from 15 states have already registered. They're going to be heading down to Jackson as well. We're going to be helping out families to not only remove the water from their homes, but of course to muck out or gut the homes, get everything out of their house that had water damage. And right now, the last number we're hearing is somewhere between 500 to 700 homes, but the number could be over 1,000 by the end of the day. So the need's going to be great. It's free. All you have to do is get to Jackson, Mississippi. We're going to feed you and give you a safe place to sleep every night. And you're going to meet people from around the country. So we'll be there for 3 weeks, Tim, right to March 14th.
Okay. Who is eligible to come and help for the 8 Days of Hope? And how do people register? And what do they, and, you know, what kind of skills do they need?
Yeah. So this trip is perfect for guys like you and I, Tim, because less skills are needed in Jackson, Mississippi, right?
I think you just offended me, but I'm not sure.
No.
I'm not sure. Go ahead.
So there's something for everyone when you serve with 8 Days of Hope. You do need to be 18 because this is an active disaster site, but we're going to be doing a lot of cleanup, a lot of gutting homes and tearing debris out of a house and carrying it to the road or to the dump. We're not going to be building anything, so you don't have to be a carpenter or a remodeler. And that's what I meant, Tim. You could be a talk show host or a guy like me who doesn't do much of anything, right? But there's something for you at 8 Days of Hope. So
okay, so go to the website, 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com. Steve and his team are going to be there. By there, I mean in the Jackson, Mississippi area, from Friday, February the 21st through Saturday, March 14th. So if you can go and help.
That's correct.
If you can go and help any of those days, then please let them know. Again, this is not a construction or a remodeling or whatever. This is helping clean out people's houses that have been flooded.
Sometimes too, Tim, it's just helping the families salvage what they can salvage.
Yes.
You know, we're bringing our laundry trailer. We have a laundry trailer with 10 commercial washers and dryers, and so families have lost all their keepsakes. They can salvage their clothes, but there's no laundromats, and they probably don't have rolls of quarters, you know. So what we do is we'll take our laundromat into those subdivisions. So if you know how to do laundry, we'd love to have you come as well. All the information is on our website, 8daysofhope.com.
Okay. Hey, Steve, keep up the good work. Look forward to seeing you, and talk to you later.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys. Appreciate your support.
Absolutely. That's Steve Tiber from 8 Days of Hope. And we 100% support the work and ministry of 8 Days of Hope. I know there's so much overlap between people who listen to AFR and people who support and help and volunteer for the 8 Days of Hope ministry.
Many times people hear about what 8 Days of Hope is about to do on AFR, and that's part of that overlap. By the way, let me ask you, what did Steve Tiber used to do before he got involved, like he and his dad? Wasn't he a builder or something?
He ran a casino.
oh, man.
No, I'm just teasing. Steve worked for companies involved in, he worked for companies.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The reason I was going to ask.
I don't know who else Steve worked for, but.
The reason I ask is because I was going to tease Steve next time he'll come through here on occasion, because I thought he was like a builder. So I was going to say, you know, you kind of said that guys like Tim and I.
Yeah.
But really, you're talking about Tim.
Right. That's what
like
I got.
Weren't you kind of like a builder or something?
If you can't do squat, but just walk around and lift stuff, maybe.
Like Tim,
for example.
Yeah, you can
but
help.
But you know what? I can act like I'm offended, but I know Steve's only telling the truth about me. Because I can't do it.
And how can the truth be offensive?
I know. I've been on 3 or 4 of the 8 Days of Hope, and I am one of the people who they say, stay out of the way and just take this over here, take this over there. You can clean that. Can you wipe that up? Yeah, I can do that. I'm that guy.
You're that guy.
I'm that guy. It's just if you get in front of a bunch of guys who can or can do,
right,
and they got the hammers hanging from their belt, you know,
then you tend to act a little more humble.
It's a little degrading. You know what I'm saying? You feel a little emasculated.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? When you can't do those, you can't do those things very well.
No, Tim, you want to turn the hammer around. Come on, brother. Use the flat end.
I'm not that bad. Don't hit your thumb. Huh? All right. Wonder what words somebody says on a Christian trip when they hit their thumb with the hammer.
I've said the same thing that everyone else says. I'm just kidding.
Gee golly.
Sometimes.
Okay. Anyway, that's a fleeting random thought that doesn't need commentary on our Facebook page from our listeners who want to know if I'm filled with the Spirit or not. Okay. All right, Fred, back to the news of the day.
Well, as we mentioned, there is a debate tonight of the presidential candidates from the Democrat Party. But last night there was a CNN-sponsored town hall, I believe it was in Las Vegas, with these various candidates. And the Right Reverend Pete Buttigieg was asked about Christianity and how can you be a Democrat and a Christian. That's being challenged.
Who wanted to know that now?
This was the CNN host, Aaron Burnett. Now,
asked him how you can be a Democrat and a Christian?
Yeah, during a televised town hall event, Buttigieg was asked how he would promote the idea that one could be both a Democrat and a Christian to combat a narrative that conservatives own Christianity.
Oh, I see.
All right. Okay. So they got into this dialogue about the Democratic Party and Christianity. But at one point, the host, Erin Burnett, she asked Buttigieg if Christians can support Trump. All right, if it's compatible for Christians who say they believe the Bible to support Trump. Cut number 8.
Do you think it is impossible to be a Christian and support President Trump?
Well, I'm not going to tell other Christians how to be Christians, but I will say I cannot find any compatibility between the way this president conducts himself and anything that I find in Scripture.
There you have it. Devoted pro-abortionist Pete Buttigieg. Where do you find that in Scripture, former Mayor Buttigieg? Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact you are an open homosexual and are very proud of that. And yet he's questioning the compatibility of someone who says they support Trump. And basically he's saying that Trump doesn't behave like a Christian ever.
I feel judged. Am I the only one?
No.
Are y'all feeling judged by Mayor Pete?
He did judge you.
Yes, I know, but he's probably going to tell me tomorrow, don't judge.
Well, yeah, don't judge him.
but he can judge me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. By saying he was asked the question, clear question, how can a Christian support President Trump? Do you see a problem with that?
Right.
And he says, well, he starts off by saying the politically correct thing. I'm not going to tell other Christians how they should be Christian, but I look at what this president believes and does, and I don't see any of that in Scripture. So, yeah, he is telling other Christians how they should be Christian, and that means you can't support Donald Trump.
Look, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses, all right? President Trump and people have their journey of faith,
right?
When it started, how it's developed in their lives, or it hasn't at all. So with President Trump, he is not a fully mature Christian yet.
Right.
All right? I do believe people who know him, he is a believer. He does acknowledge
that
God.
That is what others
have said who know him.
Yes.
Who know him. However, he's still a New York street fighter,
right?
In many ways, and he walks and talks like that. So he's going to say and do things sometimes that you would say, "Well, that's not very nice," you know. I'm not excusing the times he does go over the top with his basically with the things that he tweets.
Yeah.
Sometimes where you go, come on, man, don't do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, but with President Trump, like with all of us, you take the good, bad, and the ugly oftentimes, and you have to put it all together and say, okay, does the good outweigh the bad? so to speak. So I would say, yeah, there are times when the president, especially when he gets personal with people, and I'm not talking about a fun way.
Right.
I'm talking about if he gets mean and nasty in criticizing people, and he has done that in the past, that is not characteristic of a Christian. All right? But I've done it too.
And you would and you would say to someone that you knew at church, come on, man. You
don't do that.
Yeah, don't do
but
that.
But the thing about it, when you say, come on, don't do that to church, nobody knows
right
necessarily. But President Trump's reactions and actions are out there for the whole world to see.
Right.
Every day, all day. So sometimes he does do things that you would say, well, that's not in character with a Christian. Okay, so that is true. But I would say that's also true of all of us, if we were to be out there in public all the time. And as I say, you have different levels of maturity based on how long you've known the Lord, how long you've tried to live a Christian life, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And especially for somebody in Donald Trump's position, and I would say this about anybody who is been used to having their way their whole life, had money their whole life, had privilege their whole life, that I've never been in that position.
Right.
I would have liked to have tried.
Right.
Don't get me wrong.
Like test and see how I would have done.
I would, you know. what's the old saying? Money can't buy happiness, but I'd sure like to give it a shot.
Or money can't buy happiness, but it buys the kind of misery you can live with.
Yes, something like that. But I'm just saying, for put yourself in that position.
Right.
That leads, what I've just described earlier, leads to a person basically saying and doing whatever they want to, whenever they want to, without consequence.
You ever see pictures of Donald Trump when he was a young man? He was a good-looking guy.
Oh, yeah.
So
I'm sure he had women throwing her.
Yeah, he was wealthy and good-looking and very successful. I had none of those things when I was a young man, so I am careful about judging people because I've never walked in their shoes. Now, that doesn't mean we don't say, yeah, but what he was doing was wrong. Of course, Scripture says it's wrong, but I try not to say I feel superior to this guy because I never was tempted.
And you would say I haven't walked in the shoes of somebody who's been poor or who's lived who's had a hard life, and then they react in a certain way to circumstances or say something, and you make a judgment call based on that. In the same way, like I heard one pastor say one time, you know, God cares about the down and out, but he also cares about the up and out.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I'm just saying that when you live a life like President Trump has lived, that's all he's ever known. And so he's used to people saying yes, sir, and saying whatever he wants to without much consequence. So anyway, that's a long answer to Mayor Pete's criticism of President Trump. But you're right, Fred. Now, Mayor Pete, let's talk policy. Let's don't talk personality necessarily. You may like Mayor Pete's personality. His personality is non-offensive to people. I think that's one of the reasons he's done so well. His policy, though, is pro-abortion.
Right up until the moment of birth.
Yeah, and also he is a practicing homosexual.
Yes.
Which, according to the Bible, is sinful behavior.
Yep.
So you might as well ask Mayor Pete, how do you square your faith in Christ that you say you have with your sexual immorality? Mm-hmm. That the Bible clearly describes. You could ask him the same thing. I'm sure that wasn't asked of this reporter.
No.
But anyway, so tonight is the debate.
Tonight is the debate. Saturday is the Democrat caucuses for Nevada. Now, there's a new poll out this morning, very consistent with the poll we talked about earlier this week. Bernie is doing well in the polls. I think in this latest one, I believe it's from ABC News, he's up almost 20 points over the second person. So Bernie's out in front. He's got 31-32 percentage. And behind him is Bloomberg at, 19, I think it is, or even less than that. So Bernie's riding high. he's having big crowds when he goes to various places, thousands of people showing up to show Bernie support. One of the things that he rails about, he's going to fight, if he becomes president, against greed and corruption. That's one of his lines right now. Well, Peter Schweitzer, author Peter Schweitzer, has written a book about all of this, and he was on Fox and Friends this morning to challenge Bernie's assessment that he is the champion of fighting against greed and corruption. Cut number four.
It's not just beating Trump. It has taken on the greed and corruption of Wall Street.
I mean, this goes back to the 1980s when Bernie was mayor of Burlington, Vermont. One of the first things he did, Steve, was put his then-girlfriend, later wife, on the payroll. And that began this pattern of sort of steering money, taxpayer money and campaign money, to his family. His wife set up a media buying business and started doing media buying for her husband's campaign. When you do a media buy, the buyer's entitled to a commission of between 10 and 15%. We also found out, Steve, that in a couple of cases, allies of Bernie Sanders were expecting Bernie's endorsements. Bernie didn't give it. They both ended up hiring Jane as their media buyer, and then a couple of weeks later, Bernie decided to endorse these candidates.
Yeah, no kind of signal.
If that all is true, and I have no reason to doubt Peter
Schweitzer.
Mm-hmm. That's corruption right there. Mm-hmm.
It's sleazy, and especially if you're using, you rail against private money coming in,
right?
But then you use public money to come into campaigns and buy meat. And then direct those monies to family members, all that kind of stuff that Peter Schweitzer was talking about. That's corruption too, Bernie. Mm-hmm. But like you said, if all that's true, and guess what? All that is going to come out. If it is true, it's going to be used to hammer Bernie, especially if he becomes the clear front runner. All this stuff is going to come out.
They're going to rip into Bloomberg tonight, fellas.
Yes, they will.
He's going to be.
And Bernie. I think they'll rip into Bernie too.
Bernie's out in front of everybody.
Yeah. You don't want Bernie becoming unstoppable. Some are saying if he does really well through Super Tuesday, he'll be unstoppable.
Yes, right.
So you just can't let him get that far ahead. So they'll go after both of them.
Well, then who's left?
Well,
they're not going to get both. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Those underneath Sanders and underneath Bloomberg need to have something to help them rise up to be at one or two.
Right.
So they need to pull the others down. It's kind of like King of the Hill.
Right.
Remember when you played King of the Hill when you were a kid?
Everybody's trying to drag the guy down.
And then you get on top. Guess what? Then everybody's trying to drag you down.
That's right.
But it's going to be interesting to see how they – but I think they're going to try to savage Bloomberg, because he's the antithesis of everything that Bernie Sanders says he stands for, and Elizabeth Warren. And if you combine Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders supporters, Sanders having the majority of them, you're talking about probably 50% of the Democrat voting bloc who are would be, you know, lefties. Mm-hmm.
And opposed to billionaires.
Opposed to billionaires, and certainly opposed to people buying their way into the,
you know, AOC,
Democrat primary.
AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, says there should not be any billionaires. Remember she said that? She said
there shouldn't even be billionaires. Right.
You don't need that kind of money.
Yeah, so it's going to be, but they're going to go after Bloomberg because they want to bring, they want to get rid of him.
Yeah.
So that
Biden has to have a good night tonight too. He does.
Right.
I mean, if he falters on that stage, I think it's over for him.
He needs to remember he's in Nevada.
Yes.
That's number one. And he just, bless his heart, he just needs to go home, go fishing.
Yeah.
Hang out with the grandkids, whatever. I don't know what he does for a hobby.
Yeah, I don't know what Biden's do.
Sit on a board somewhere of a Ukrainian company.
No, well, he can't take his
Fred,
son.
That was
he can't take his son's job. Place. Come on.
No. Hey, blood's thicker than water, but ain't thicker than money. Big money. Dad, you ain't having my 70 grand.
A month.
Board.
You got your own.
I don't know. Is he still on that board?
I don't think he's
off.
Moved on. He lives in, well, he had a friend in Arkansas.
He gave it everything he had, you know, Hunter Biden did, to that board. You know what I'm saying? He gave his heart and soul. Mm-hmm. And I would give my heart and soul for $70,000 a month, I'll be honest with you. So, of free money.
All right, now, okay, can I?
I'm being sarcastic.
Can I turn the subject to something else, something even more important?
Something more spiritual?
Something more important than this. Now, Steve Jordahl has corrected the people on Facebook who were watching and saying the name is Eddie DeBartolo. So I don't know who's right anymore. So now we've got something going between Steve Jordahl, who's
who will
been
be up. He'll be on our show in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And some of the folks.
And he's gotten into a Facebook fight with our listeners over how to pronounce a name?
I think so. I think that's what we're looking at here. He says it's DeBartolo. Now, he is from California. And from the Bay Area.
We'll let him defend himself.
I think we're going to do that.
Get a hold of Steve. It's 1-800.
Yeah. give me his email address.
We love our Facebook folks. Now, don't
call
Steve. If you want to go to Facebook, and join us, go to Facebook or YouTube and just type in Today's Issues, and you can watch the show there. Today's Issues, or post your comments, or correct Steve Jordahl. If you want to, on there. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Our email address is comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Yeah, Steve doesn't much believe in the customer is always right. you get a chance to defend yourself in 10 minutes, Steve. Steve's in the green room waiting to come on our show.
And he just walked in, so he doesn't know. He doesn't know that I just threw him under the bus.
Right. He was walking across the street while you were. Talking about
I started a fight between him and our Facebook.
Okay. All right, Fred, what's next?
Okay, we only have a few minutes left, but here's a story we're working on in the newsroom right now. Got a press release from Liberty Counsel yesterday, and this involves some United Parcel Service drivers in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Last July, they started holding before their shift started, very important. Before their shift started, they used to gather out in the parking lot, and they would have a time of prayer together, all right? So this started last July. Well, last month in January, their supervisor there at that facility in Myrtle Beach started to tell them, you can't do that because you may be offending other people. You may be offending their religious beliefs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. According to Liberty Counsel, this dispute has reached the point where it appears some of the drivers have now been fired who question their supervisor's right to say you cannot pray in the parking lot before your shift. So we're watching this very carefully. It may be an isolated incident there at the facility. In Myrtle Beach, we're not saying that this company policy. In fact, we got an email yesterday from somebody at the head office at UPS saying they're looking into this.
Yes.
They're certainly not endorsing what has happened in Myrtle Beach. But you know, guys, it's just another example that Christians today, number one, doing something legal,
right,
are being challenged by people who say, hey, what you may be doing by having a Bible on your desk if you're a student,
right,
hey, it's separation of church and state. You cannot do that.
Or it's offensive. Someone might get their feelings hurt.
Yes, exactly. So we're watching this story very carefully. Chris Woodward is working on that story, and we'll be following it.
Okay, Fred, thank you.
You are welcome.
All right, folks, we got to take a break right here. And when we get back, we will continue for the next half hour with news of the day and what's happening in our world. Steve Jordahl will be with us in 5 minutes. We'll see you back here then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.